I mentioned the barbecue last week, and the youth group is going to be hosting the barbecue. It's free, but we'd like you to donate. Now, the donations are for a purpose. A few weeks ago, you heard Deanna Durante play and sing a special song that she wrote. Well, that was for a purpose. Our young people in our Northern California, Nevada district of the Assemblies of God, and then beyond that nationally, do what's called the Fine Arts Festival. And that's it's a competition, but it's more of an encouragement for young people to learn how to write songs, play music, do artistic things, preach, etc. And so some of our kids made it to the national level. They were so good that they got that graduation. And so that costs money to go. I think it's in Florida this year. And so some of our young people are going to travel to Florida in August and to take their talents there. The barbecue next week is to fund those kids so we can get them there, okay? So come and bring your wallet, okay? Throw a little extra in there so we can get these kids to Florida to begin to hone their skills. And this morning, I'm going to preach, but I'm scared to follow this person. I don't know how this is going to work out, but Caitlin Bender is one of our young preachers. And she made it from the local level to the national level. And so she's going to bring you the word that she prepared for her short sermon. And I can't tell you how proud I am. I'm proud of all the kids, all of them. And today we're going to highlight Caitlin. So give Caitlin a warm welcome as she comes to preach today. Yeah.
Hi. Okay. I'm going to be preaching my sermonette on seeking God. And so, seeking God is something we all must do as Christians in order to deepen and strengthen our faith. If I told you that I would buy you any car you wanted, no price range, if you spent 15 quality minutes seeking God every day for the rest of this month, that would be a no-brainer. Isn't our relationship with God worth more than a Mercedes, Ferrari, Tesla, insert whatever dream car you're thinking of right now? But sometimes we don't feel like it, and we come up with excuses. And one very common one for me is, oh, I'll just do it later. And as time goes on, it gets pushed back more and more, and then I never do it. And so there are many days in my life where I use that excuse to do what I want to do in that moment instead. And so as Christians, we forget the why we have to read our Bibles each and every day. And it's important that we don't forget, because without it, we can easily, you know, forget to read our Bibles or push it far back enough that we never do it. And so first, we should seek God because it brings wisdom. One really good portion of scripture about this is Proverbs 2, which is actually my dad's favorite proverb. It says in verses 3 through 6, "Furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." God gives wisdom freely to those who ask for it. And if we seek the Lord with the desperation of seeking for buried treasure, that is when we receive that wisdom. Another way to think about this is when you lose your phone. Whenever I misplace mine, I search over every countertop, I check all my pockets, and I check under couch cushions and all those sorts of things until I finally find my phone and feel so relieved. And yeah. And so God wants us to search for him like that. He wants us to put everything that we're doing down to seek his infinite wisdom until we find it so we can dwell in his glorious presence. So first, we must seek God to receive his wisdom. And secondly, we must seek him because Jesus himself did so as well. Since Jesus was perfect, he was pretty much the one who had to seek God the least. But in order to set an example for us, Jesus sought the Lord the most. Jesus even woke up early to pray, as it said in Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. When ministering to others, we give out of what we have, and when we don't spend time with God, we have nothing to give. And Jesus knew this very well, so he showed us how to seek God and pour into others' lives so everyone can draw near to him. Because of Jesus' example, I like to get up in the morning and pray and read my Bible. It mostly started because my dad made my brother and I do it, but by spending that time with God every day, I am more and more in awe of Jesus, desperate to draw near to him. And since Jesus went to God, and since we're supposed to be models of Christ, we must live like Jesus did, as it said in 1 John 2:6, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Overall, seeking God is so important because of how God gives us wisdom and because Jesus sought God himself. We make time for what we value, whether it's our homework, our friends, our family, someone who you'd like to be in your family, if you know what I mean, and so on and so forth. If we value the relationship we have with Jesus, we will let Jesus schedule our time with him instead of us confining him to one small portion of the day. So I encourage you to leave today with the heart to make more time to seek God, like you're going to get your dream car or like when you lose your phone, so that we can all become the wonderful men and women God made us to be. Thank you. And now for the actual sermon, here's Pastor Greg.
Wow. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're older, they will not depart from it. I didn't literally see you, but I was here when you were born. And now she's doing that. And I really hate it when people laugh at her jokes more than they will laugh at mine. Church, if you want to see your children grow up to serve God, raise them right. Don't be worried. Did you catch that little phrase? At first, my dad made me, and then I began to love it. I don't know anybody who loves training at first, but then you begin to love it. Let's raise our kids. And I can't wait for your kids, all those little ones that just scurried out of here, to see them follow in the footsteps of the older ones. It's powerful. Not even my daughter. What's wrong with me? I love it. To see the children grow like that. This is paybacks because I was teasing Melissa in morning prayer. And I was making fun of her because we ain't ready yet. Now I'm a mess. When you seek God, God begins to do things special in your life. And that's what we're trying to teach in these few weeks in May about spiritual gifts. That God is always working. But you see, God desires to work in us. And he desires to work through us. It's just as if God were here that he desires to do that. And when I say just as if he were here, I mean in flesh, like he was with Jesus. But Jesus said, when I go to be with the Father, it's going to be for your benefit. Now, how could that be? For Jesus to leave and it's better for us? Because he said, I'll send the Comforter. I'll send the Counselor. And when the Counselor comes, the one who's just like me, but yet not confined to body, he will not be with you only, he will be in you. And when the Holy Spirit of God is in you, he begins to replicate not only the character of God, but he replicates the works of God. And that's what spiritual gifts are all about. God's desire to replicate his work in the world just as if he were walking the earth in flesh. Does that make sense? That's what spiritual gifts are for. Let me read you the scripture. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and then 12, well, I'm not going to read all that, but the block of verse 7 and then verse 12 to 31. Let me just read a portion of that. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Jump to verse 12. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, And we were all given one spirit to drink. The body is not made up of one part, but of many. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now this chapter, chapter 12, and then chapter 14 in a little bit later, talking about spiritual gifts and the working of spiritual gifts. Now the whole theme of this, though, is really not gifts, it's unity. Because you see, the Corinthians were really, really struggling with the work of the gifts in their church, but yet some considering theirs were greater than others, and some even thinking that some of the behaviors were even demonic. Glenn last week explained that and made it clear, reading the first couple of verses of chapter 12. So there's some conflict going on in the Corinthian church. And Paul is trying to say, listen, guys, slow down. You're all equal. You're all part of the body. You just function different. So stop looking down on others and stop, you know, admiring someone else and thinking that you're lesser than them. Let's stop doing that. And let's recognize that we're all a part of the body. Now, that happens even today. I've been in non-Pentecostal churches where people have said that, you know, those people who do those Pentecostal things, meaning us, they're either off base, or I've even heard it said that they practice demonic things. Pretty bold statement. Pretty ungodly statement. Now, on the flip side, sometimes we Pentecostals will do the same thing. We'll look to those who don't practice and we'll say, oh, poor uneducated, poor non-spiritual people, if they could only get it like we do. And you see, that's the whole problem. The issue is to bring us together and that there might be unity in the body. So first point, unity and diversity in the body. Let me read. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. There should be no division in the body. If you are a part of the body of Christ, and when I say that, what I mean is, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're following Him as your Lord and Master, you are gifted. You are. And you're part of this body. You don't get to necessarily pick and choose what your gifting is, but the Bible says you can pray and seek certain gifts. You're one part of many, and we as a whole are one. Say this phrase with me. We are one body, but many parts. Say it again. We are one body, but many parts. And now say this. I am gifted. Say it again. I am gifted. That's truth. Okay, we are all together. Look, I love our church. So diverse. Age-wise, culture-wise, ethnicity-wise. Maturity in Christ-wise, it's a beautiful thing to stand here and look out at you every week together. But you're one. Romans says that every part belongs to every other part. It's not just that we consider that we're one. God sees us as a body. He sees us together. He uses other metaphors that we are one, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church. We're His bride. He doesn't have many brides. Jesus isn't this weird spiritual polygamist. He's got one bride. And we are that bride. Now you say, well, Pastor, the church is big. It's global. Yeah, true. The church is bigger. That's the beauty. Travel sometime and go to a church and find that you just click right away because you've got that spirit connection. I've experienced that. But here at 10100 North Stelling Road, we're our clan. And I love our clan. Don't you? We have a great clan. We have our little subset of what the body of Christ is. But we all are one. We all wear the same uniform. You guys know I love sports, and right now the Warriors in the playoffs and they're doing well. They all wear the same uniform. Notice when one gets in a tussle with one of the opposing players, all the players come around and defend the one. They defend each other. They support each other. They look out for each other, and they together compete against the people in the other uniform. We're one. We have a common goal, a common aim to build the kingdom of God, to to glorify Jesus Christ as we do, and to together grow his kingdom and resist the powers of the enemy. We're unified. Now, we are many, the parts of the body. We are the body of Christ, and we're so beautifully so that way. All the players on the Warriors basketball team have names and numbers on the jerseys just so the fans can differentiate who's who, but there's distinction there. And we can tell that different parts play different parts. Now, pardon me when I get a little bit, you know, geeking out on basketball right now. And some of you may not, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if everybody on the Warriors was Draymond Green, now we'd be a hot-headed bunch, that's for sure. But we'd be great on defense. We'd be awesome on defense. We'd be great passers of the ball, but we wouldn't score a lot. Because that's not his role. He doesn't do that. But if you watch the game the other night, when I heard that the people on the bench said, get Kevon Looney in the game. We need somebody who can rebound the ball, who can play defense. And he's not the big star. But the big star said, get that guy in the game. If we're going to win, we need that guy. Coach put him in, and he pulled down over 20 rebounds. For those that don't know, that's a lot. And they won the game. They weren't the scoring stars. The scoring stars, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, you know, scored 29 and 30 points, and they get their names in the headlines. But I'll tell you what, those guys with their names in the headlines are saying in their locker room, we could not do that without you. And we needed to win the game, and you're the ones. You see, we're one, but we're different, and we're supposed to be different. Yeah, sometimes the All-Stars get more notoriety. In a fleshly realm, they get more pay. Sometimes the pay differentiation isn't quite right, but you pay for stars, and the lesser guys do their part. But everybody gets the ring when they win championships. We are equal in value, but different in function. No gift is more valuable than the others. Maybe you say, I'm not like the upfront person. Well, you're not supposed to be. You can't have too many upfront people. Think if we had 10 people up here right now, all trying to vie for this time. It'd be nuts. Nobody would come. It's chaos. Everybody's got to do their part. You know, in the military, what one of the most valuable pieces of equipment is for a soldier? Socks. Socks. Because if the soldier's feet get wet and oftentimes they have to travel for many miles and they don't get to rest for multiple days and they have to fight in the same clothes, if their socks get wet, their feet begin to grow funguses and they get cracked and they get just, and then the soldier can't fight. What good is his gun if he can't walk? What good is his grenades and his even mental skill in battle because he didn't have fresh, warm socks? And so along with their bullets and along with their weapons, they'll carry extra socks. Because you see, the feet are important, just like the head. We're different, but we're all valuable. Caitlin mentioned cars in her sermon. You may have Glenn, what do you drive? I'll pick on you. A Toyota Camry? What year? What's that? You don't know? All right, Glenn's car is now up for sale. It's a Camry. What color? White Camry. We don't know what year it is. How many miles? We don't know how many miles. We don't know how many miles. How many would give $500 for Glenn's Camry that we don't know the miles and we don't know the year? How many would give $5,000? Hands went down. Maybe. How many would give 10,000? Okay, go back to the 5,000s. How many would give 5,000? How many would not give 5,000? Okay, I'm sorry, man. I'm so sorry. You see, let's just say in reality, his car is brand new and it's got only 5,000 miles on it. Now the numbers change, right? Okay, I'm in. But you see, here's the point. The value of something, or let me ask you this, how much would you sell it for? This is when you create an illustration on the spot. This is what happens. Let's say Glenn wanted 20,000. Nobody's paying that. So to him, the value is 20,000. To the highest bidder, we had a few at 5,000. The value is not what you want for it. The value is what someone else is willing to pay. You follow me? Jesus Christ set your value on the cross. You may not think you're very valuable. You may not think you're very talented. You're not very, intelligent or creative or whatever it is. You may not think that you're that something, but Jesus Christ says differently. He set your value on the cross. He said, no, let me show you how valuable you are. And he stretched out his arms and he died. And the beauty is that he set the same value on everybody. He didn't have multiple crucifixions or multiple, dying for your sins in different ways. Like for some of us, he's just going to die by lethal injection. It'll be painless because you're not very valuable. And then for others, maybe he'll just, take a quick gunshot. And for others, he'll be crucified. No, he sets your value by one sacrifice, one death, one way, and said, all of you are worth that. That's your value. Let me just say this, because some think differently. The pastor's value is no greater than anybody else's. What I'm doing right now, now he said amen. Come on, man. I'm kidding. But it's true. The pastor's value is no different. Now you can say amen. Okay, there we go. Because it's just part of the team. It's a different role, functions different, and without them, we don't do very well. Because that's what God has gifted. But if we were all pastors, no one would be doing anything else. And it would be a mess. We all have a role. You have a role. You said it. I am gifted, and you are. The thing is how do we figure that out? The gifts are for the benefit of others. I'm going to hustle through this a little bit. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Now, we are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You can't be a follower of Christ and not be a part of the body. Okay, I'm going to say it over and over and over again. Say, Pastor, you said that already. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. You can't be a follower of Christ and not be a part of the body. Every part of the body, next bullet, is gifted. So therefore, you're gifted. If you're a part of the body, you're gifted. And I have to keep saying it because I know this about the body of Christ. Some of you think you don't have a gift. But you do. It's a matter of what Caitlin preached. We seek God, and as we seek God, he begins to open our eyes to how he wants to use us. And then he gives us the power and gives us the talent and ability to carry that out. God doesn't send us out to build his kingdom and then not give us the tools. He's given you that. If you're a Christian today, you're gifted. If you do not give each one of the gifts is for the benefit of others. This is where we really get hung up. That we think the gift is for us. It's not. The gift is to work through you. And that's why no gift can say, well, look at what I got. It's not about you. Well, but my gift's better than your gifts. Neener, neener, neener. It's not about you. That was the point of 1 Corinthians. Guys, it's not about you. It's about God working through you. And when that happens, then everybody says, we just give glory to God. It's all him. Because I don't have this. You didn't have that until God came in. Now, look what he's done. And we give him glory. I know full well, and I'm going to tell you in a little bit about my journey into discovering my own giftings. I guarantee you this. It's God. When I was Caitlin's age, you wouldn't catch me dead doing what she just did. We all grow. As we allow God to move in our lives, he speaks to us. See, if you do not give yourself to the others, both you and the family are incomplete. There's a lot of folks here that don't yet understand their gifting, and so they haven't stepped in to be a functioning part of the body of Christ. And we miss you. It's like a person not having an arm or not having an ear or not having an eye. They might be sitting there saying, well, yeah, but I'm just an appendix. You can do without me. I'm tonsils. You can take me out and maybe it's better because you get to eat ice cream for 3 days. Do they still do that? I don't know if they do it. When I was a kid, they did. There is no such thing as an indispensable part of the body. There's no such thing as a disposable part of the body. You're all valuable and you're all important. So how do the gifts work? The gifts come from the same Holy Spirit. One God blesses everybody. Now, each person is given probably a dominant gift or a gift mix. You might find yourself functioning in multiple ways. And every person has kind of a dominant gift mix. But at any time, any part of the body can function in any of the gifts as God wants to use them. There's been one time in my life where there has been a miraculous healing. I mean, like a miracle. But I don't have the gift of healing. I wish I did. I'm praying for that right now, by the way. I want that gift. But right now, I don't have it. It just doesn't happen like that, like it does to some other people. But one time it did, because of that one time, God wanted to use me that way. You follow what I'm trying to say? God can do through you at any time according to what he wants to accomplish. So you don't have to go, oh, man, this person needs healing. I can't do that. I better go run and find a healer. No, he can use you right there. So keep praying. Always step out boldly. Always step out. Because it's one Spirit. And the Spirit is in you. And he will use you regularly, but he can use you unusually when he sees fit to do that. So how do I learn what my spiritual gifts are? Well, most people start with, well, what are you good at? Now, that's not a terrible place to start, but we got to go a little bit further than that. Because if God just can only use what you're good at, and that's what he put into you when you were born, then there's going to be the elimination of God being able to do some really unique things through you, and nobody is born with supernatural power. And the gifts that we learned about last week are truly supernatural. You don't just get that at birth and you're talented that way. God has to bestow that on you. So think about it this way. Noah was likely a farmer because they kind of were all farmers back then. But God made him a shipbuilder. Moses didn't talk very well. So God said, let's make him the spokesman of Israel. David was a shepherd. So God said, let's make him a king. Peter was a fisherman. So God said, let's make him a preacher. Paul was a killer of Christians. So God said, let's make him a church planner. You're starting to see that if we just rely on our talents, sometimes we'll miss on the supernatural. And God wants to do the supernatural. And when it's clear that it was supernatural and not you, it's not you that gets the glory. God gets the glory. Because everybody around you goes, I know that wasn't you. That had to be God. Moses, you can't even talk straight. And you're the mouth? What? I know that's got to be God. But sometimes we need a little boost. So let's do retreat a little bit and start out with aptitude. Here are some aptitude questions. And one is, what am I naturally good at? Do you know? Are you willing to admit it? I like to ask that questions in groups. So what are you good at? And nobody ever talks. So you got to prod them. But if I ask, what are you really weak at? Oh, I'm weak at this. Oh, I'm weak at that. Everybody wants to talk about their weaknesses, not about their strengths, as if it's kind of like boasting. It's not boasting if you didn't do it. Follow me? You're boasting on God. You say, praise God, he gave me this, and I'm really good at it. Why can't we say that? Because God has gifted you in powerful ways. I started ministry as a sophomore in high school. I got saved between my freshman and sophomore year. And I really, really wanted to be a part of ministry. Our church was big and our youth group was big. Our youth group was about 200 kids, just high school. And so they had their own, like, function. and with leadership hierarchy and all that. And all I knew is a brand new baby Christian. I grew up in the church, so I knew about God and all that, but I'd never served before, and I wanted to serve, and I didn't know what to do. So when it came time to start the new year as a sophomore, and the possibilities of service came up, one was open, and that was the guy that sets up chairs. So I don't know how to do all that other stuff. I'm new. I don't know how everything works. And there was vice presidents and presidents and operations and marketing and all the stuff that the youth group would do. And I don't know anything about that. Pretty sure I can handle setting up chairs. So for the next 2 years, every Wednesday night, I'd show up an hour early and I'd set up the chairs. I had a partner. Every Sunday morning, youth group started at 8:30. I'd get there at 7:30 in the morning as a sophomore, and I had a little Honda 90 motorbike. I'd pick up my partner on my motorbike a block away from his house because his mom wouldn't let him ride on the bike, and so we kind of cheated, and we didn't tell her. And I'd pick him up, and I'd drive to church, and sometimes it was raining, but you throw on your jacket anyway, and you go, and you show up an hour early, and you set up the chairs, and you stay about 45 minutes later, and you take them all down. I could do that. I could do that. Some of you might think, that's all I got. Okay, start there. Start there, the simple things, if you're not quite sure. That's where I started. Well, what do other people say? What do others say you're good at? Well, I told you I set up chairs my sophomore and junior year. When it became my senior year, the youth pastor pulled me aside and he said, I'm going to make you president of the group. Now, you got to be kidding me. I'm a chair setter-upper. I'm good at that. I can like whap, 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 set up those folding chairs. You kind of pop them and they fall open by themselves. I can do all that. I'm good. I can do three, two at a time. Wah-tah! I'm great at that. I don't know how to president. It says faithful with a little means faithful with much. And he was watching. He was observing. And I didn't know he was doing that. And I didn't know any of that stuff, but I learned how to be a leader because somebody else saw something. I'm so thankful for that period. Fast forward, when I became youth pastor, I just did everything that I learned that year when I was a senior in high school. I didn't know how to do that either, so let's just do that. Plus, ask a lot of questions. When I went to Bethany Bible School, I didn't know a soul and just met a few people. My friend Deshaun, that's been here so many times, great pastor in Sri Lanka, became my brother during that time. I didn't know anybody. I was pretty good at music, though, but I thought, I don't want to do that right away. People are just going to, you get noticed for what you can do, and I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make friends that were real friends, not people that were friends just because I could do music. So for the first year, I didn't do anything, just met some close friends. And in the second year, I did some music, and it was what I thought it would be. People suddenly want to be your friend when you can do stuff. And those friends I don't have really anymore, but I still have my close friends from that first year. And so after that second year, they pulled me aside and said, we want to send you on a summer-long PR, public relations trip to Oregon. And I said, okay. So I spent 9 months in Oregon with the team trying to encourage young people to go to Bible school. And it was a powerful time of ministry growth. And that's the summer I got called into pastoral ministry. Jesus said, I'm not going to have you do music. I'm going to have you do pastoral ministry. I said, yes, Lord. And I decided to make that my life's goal. Well, where is the need in the church that my gifting could help? Well, after graduation, I didn't have a resume. I didn't know where to go. Sandra was doing her graduate work at San Jose State. So I did what I knew, and that was just wait tables. I waited tables for a while, and then we found this church, and they said, well, you can come to be a part of the church, but we can't pay you to be a youth pastor, but we can pay you to be the custodian. I said, okay, I'll do that. So for the next year, I was the custodian youth pastor. You see, where's the need? It doesn't matter the job. If you look at my story, I was always starting small, and now I'm not afraid to start small. 8 years after that, became the senior pastor. We had about 50, 60 people in the church. God began to start all over again. Okay, keep starting small, keep starting small, keep starting small. Small is okay. So if you're concerned about, well, it's not the big position, it's not the big deal. It doesn't need to be. Be faithful with what you can do. Step there. That's been my life, my whole life. Not really that great at a lot of things, but I kept saying yes, 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 I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. And then God begins to develop. The first time I spoke a message, it was disaster. Man, Caitlin, you killed that this morning. Your first experience is going to be remembered really nicely. Mine was just, are you kidding me? Don't ever let that guy speak again. I couldn't do speeches in class, in speech class. 2 minutes. Now, some of you are going, man, I wish you could speak 2 minutes now. Takes you an hour to get through this stuff. Just scared, so insecure. But God began to do things. He began to give me confidence. I began to pray, God, help me to be a good teacher. Help me, Lord. Help me be a good teacher. I'm a good teacher. But it's all to God's glory. It's all to His glory. You see, start where you are. And I don't even know why this emotion is coming on me. I think it's because I want you to excel. Family, listen to me. I want you to be all you can be. My heart is heavy, not in a bad way, but in a good way. For you to just go and to understand who you are in Christ and to know that He wants to pour into your life. And if it means starting out setting up chairs, or if that's your entire career to set up chairs, then do it for His glory. Do that. I was thrilled to be the custodian because I could get paid to be in ministry. Start somewhere. Say yes. There's a little helps I found this week. I thought it was pretty good. It's called giftstest.com. Giftstest.com. Think, man, what happened to Supernatural? Now you're sending me to a, thing. But it was pretty good. And it'll give you a little boost. At least it'll give you a little bit of a starter that it might help you on your way. But now there's some supernatural questions. What am I sensing from God in prayer in my Bible study? As you pray, as you read your Bible, ask God, God, what are you doing? God, I want to know. God, help me to understand your gifting in my life. Pray that. Pray it every day. And then as God reveals that to you, now pray how He can use that. Because He may not use it in the way that you think He would. God's always tricky. He'll take you and He'll move you and He'll guide you. What am I sensing in prayer and in my Bible study? What is God doing around me that I want to be a part of? I just knew I wanted to be a part of the youth group and I wanted to serve. I didn't want to sit on the sidelines. I wanted to do something. So, okay, set up chairs. What is God doing around you that you're drawn to be a part of? Do that. Say yes. Well, it's going to mean that, I've got to change my lifestyle. Following Christ means you're going to change your lifestyle. When you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to a change of lifestyle. That's the deal. So if it means getting up a little earlier, like a lot of us do, we're here at 7 o'clock in the morning, sometimes a little earlier. The hospitality team, the ushers, they all come early. Tech guys, many stay later. Okay. Let's do that. Let's step in and be a part of what God is doing around you. What gifts in the lives of the Bible characters or current people inspire you? I always loved David and I loved Daniel. Those two characters really, really just lit me up. And I just liked their courage. I liked their boldness. But most of all, I liked their faithfulness even in failure. Now that was David, not so much Daniel. But even in failure, he got back up. I wanted to be like that. God, I know I'm not going to be perfect, but just help me to just never quit. These two guys never quit. So they inspired me. So I wanted those kind of giftings. What gifts do I want? Am I willing to pray for God to use me in that way? When I first started here in 1993, when I became senior pastor, I said, man, I'm in over my head. Okay, God, I want you to help me to teach well. I want you to give me wisdom and discernment. Because if I don't have those, I'm going to be a lousy pastor. And over the years, God has given me a good share of that. I haven't always listened. But God was always there. And then when I look back, I go, oh, I knew what he was saying. I just didn't want to do it. Pray. What gifts do you desire? The end of 1 Corinthians 12 said, desire the gifts. That means he'll give it to you when you pray and seek him. Now, what are some next steps? I got to quit. Next steps. Pray and say to God, I'm yours, Lord. And I want your gifts so you can use me in any way you want to. That's the heart. That's the heart. I'll say it again. Lord, I'm yours. And I want to be used by you in any way you want to. That has to be the first part. Next step is then begin serving where the need is. Where do you discern that the need is? Where is the obvious need? Start there. Be a yes person. Say, okay, I may not be totally gifted that way, but if that's where the need is, I'll do it. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, Ecclesiastes says. Step in, because you never know what that step will lead to. Faithful with a little means faithful with much. I want you to know that all your pastors and staff that have grown up in this church have been hired by that principle. I will not hire a person who's not been faithful with a little first. Faithful with a little means you'll be faithful with much. And that's why we have the pastoral staff and the elders that we do, because they're faithful. Then last, pay attention to what you find purpose and fulfillment in. And it may not be the easiest or most enjoyable. God never promised that it's going to be the easiest job. Just ask Moses. Not the easiest job. But God used him tremendously. Here's what I know, and Pastor Sean, you can come. If you wait until you think you're perfect, or if you wait until you think you're worthy, you're never going to step in. Because none of us are perfect and none of us are worthy. Not one. But God wants to use you. And we need you. And you need to step in so that you'll understand what it means to grow. And God will grow you. And it will be the greatest adventure of your life when you begin to understand what he's made you for and what he's giving you as a gift. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that each one of us would desire to be used by you. That would be our greatest desire. And I ask you right now, Lord, to soften our hearts to respond to you. God, if there's any resistance, that's not from you. That's from the liar and the thief who's trying to steal fulfillment from us. He's trying to steal glory from you. God, take away the fear. Take away the concerns of, oh, my life's going to be different. Well, of course. You've been transformed. The old is gone. The new has come. Our fourth marker is sacrifice. And it's worth it. So God, I pray you just move amongst us today. Let's pray those next steps together. Would you maybe repeat after me as I pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, I'm here and I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I ask you to use me for your glory. I'll begin to say yes, even though it will cost me, knowing that when I serve you, you will grow me, you will fulfill me, and you will fulfill your purposes. in my life. Lord, open my eyes to your working around me and to see what you're doing so that I can step in and be your partner. I'm here to be used, God. I surrender all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Sean.
Amen. We're just going to continue, as we have for the number of weeks in the past, that we're just dwelling. And Lord, I do want to call the elders up to pray. There's a need. Feel free to spend time on the altar, spend time praying with others. If you've got to head out up here and you've got a busy afternoon, we understand. No stress at all. But if you have a moment and you feel the Lord prompting you, I just want to encourage you. Allow yourself just to dwell. Maybe this would be a good time just to have that conversation. I'm going to play a little bit and sing a little bit, so feel free to sing along or just dwell during this time. Allow yourself just to seek the Lord in this moment.
Across the pages of time, He made every living thing. Behold Him, He who heard humanity's cry, left His throne to wake as a child. He became like the least of us. Behold Him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold Him. Sinners and saints, healed the blind, the lost, and the lame. Even now He is in our midst. Behold Him. He who chose the criminal's end, paid with blood to settle our debts. Buried death as He rose to life. Behold Him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold Him, Jesus. Alpha and Omega, our God, the risen Savior. Oh, be still and behold Him. Thank you. is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy to receive. God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, He spoke to the dark and fetched out the wonder of life. As you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you name. every burning star I seek, no fire I'll raise. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, don't speak in vain, the syllable empty your void. For once you have spoken, all nature and silence follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. So will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, then we'll say again 100 billion. You chase down my heart through all of my failure and regret. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. As you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Well, you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. You would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. All together worthy, all together wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to Father, I pray, Lord, that you
you'd be the center of all that we do. I'm going to step out these walls, and life is going to hit us right in the face. But I pray, Father, that we wouldn't move from the rock that is you. That God, no matter what it is that we do, Lord, I pray that we would worship you. And our joy, and our sorrow, the Father, that Silicon Valley would know who you are. Because of the love that we have, those around us. Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, empower us. And we bring you glory, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God bless.